Okay, Jim's got them up there on the screen. This is our sermon, part two, Let Your Light Shine Before Others. So let's look at the slides real quick, the first part of them, and just different ways for them to shine. Ah, you are the light of the world. The light bulb is one way to think about it. Symbols of light coming into our lives. All. But light of the world gets a little bit of interruption. That you are salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. So we'll have to get to that in the sermon. A city set on a hill is part of this passage. Okay? And again, you are the light of the world comes in so many ways and shapes that we have to dig into today. And you are the light of the world. Your light must shine before all. And so often it's just that little flame that we think about is the light of the world. But in the world today, we'll get into other ways that the light has become such a shining force in our lives. You are the light of the world. Yes, remember that so often think that symbol is the light of the world, the lighthouse. And you are the light as the sun rises. That's a hard one to compete with, the rising of the sun and that bright light. How could we possibly shine brighter than that? And that light is inside of you, inside of us. The light of the world is deep within us. And you are the light of the world. Sometimes it's a conglomeration of so many things. And it is the world. And we can't possibly shine in the whole world, one of us. So where do we shine? And we'll hold up that one and come back to it as the sermon moves forward. So we begin with our introduction. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill, says Jesus. Well, first of all, says Isaiah, in his support for the prophets and their holy writings, Jesus was very, very aware of Isaiah. And here's Isaiah 58 that I proclaimed earlier today. Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free? Is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them? It also includes the kin, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Wow. Your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. There it is. Light breaking forth. Letting your light break forth and shine is not a new idea to Jesus. It has been around. Jesus didn't create the metaphor. It was there. There it was in the expressions of the sacrificial heroes, the prophets. So as Jesus stands before thousands, as we said last week, who came to him because he was a healer. And what does he do? He brings the message to them like a prophet. And he begins with salt. You are the salt of the earth. Note that Jesus does not declare himself the salt again. It is you, the listener, you and I, we are the salt. So what does it mean that this healer came to say to all the people that are wanting someone healed or themselves healed, you are the salt? You know, again, that's not a new metaphor for Jesus. Salt was there before him. Anybody who read the ancient Hebrew scriptures back in Leviticus 2, when they had grain offerings, and they included so many things in that grain offering, including oil and frankincense. And Jesus notes that the offerings are the salt of the covenant with your God. So when there was an ancient offering in the Hebrew world, there was salt. And if you turn to Numbers, it is a covenant of salt. Salt, salt. Do you know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingship over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? Jesus says, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? If the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Mark comes along and quotes Jesus, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Archaeologists tell us that there were ancient mines of salt. In the Middle East and Europe, they go back to at least the year 6500 B.C. So salt was around. They knew they had to have salt. And they used salt for so many things. Of course, that was the way to preserve the meat and the fish that they had caught and used. So Jesus starts with salt and then he goes to light. You are the light. We had that you centered in the front of your bulletin, but some way it got changed in this technical computer world. We always sing, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light. Meaning Jesus is the light. But that's later on, as I just shared with the children's moment. Jesus starts off his preaching by declaring that you and I are the light. Wow. It's in John 8 later on that he declares, I am the light. Those who follow Jesus, we are the light. So today, as we turn to the Sermon on the Mount, it becomes the preacher's task to shout it out. Shout it out. How loud should I get? I got to wake some of you up. Shout it out. You are the light. Wow. What a command. And you can't hide it. No hiding. Your city is set upon a hill, and the eyes of all people are upon you. Well, that's a famous passage. How many of us have heard that famous passage in our political world of the United States? Ronald Reagan, we will be a city upon a hill, was one of his speeches in 1974. I think it was his grandson who wrote the book with that title about his grandfather. In 1961, President Kennedy gave a departing speech to his home state as he was headed to Washington. I have been guided by the standard of John Winthrop set before his shipmates on the flagship Arabella 331 years ago, as they too face the task of building a new government on a perilous frontier, we must always consider, he said, that we shall be a city set upon the hill in the eyes of all people. So it takes the light for the eyes to see you or upon you. Today, the eyes of all people are truly upon us, our government, that is, in every branch, at every level, our nation, our state, our local. We must be a city upon a hill. And Kennedy says, constructed and inhabited by men aware that their trust and their great responsibilities. But long before the Kennedy speech and the Reagan speech, as Kennedy alluded to, there was that sermon. The ship Arabella was ready to land in the New World in 1630, and the leader was John Winthrop, and he climbed into the pulpit. That's that front little tip of the ship, and everybody gathered there, and that's what he turned to in the scripture, as he knew that they would be landing, and we shall be a city set upon a hill, and the eyes of all people will be upon us. Portion of his sermon in Old English. Now, the only way to avoid, you ought to see how these are spelled, the only way to avoid this shipwreck, to provide for our posterity, is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Last week, that was the beginning passage that Jesus was looking at, probably as he preached this Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. It's always been with us. And John Winthrop used it. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly, he doesn't use the word sisterly, affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. And this is Winthrop's conclusion. The Lord make it like that of New England, for we must consider that we shall be a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people will be upon us. You see, the words of Jesus are a part of our nation. What about we who are followers of Jesus in today's world? Are we truly a city set upon a hill? I recall in one of his sermons, my pastor, Dr. Floyd Faust, many years ago, noted that when he first moved to Columbus, when he left the Appalachian Hills and was studying at Ohio State and working on his PhD and moved to Columbus to do all this, and he looked at the tallest buildings in downtown Columbus. They were the church steeples and the state capitol. And then in 1927, the first tower was completed, the Leveque Lincoln Tower, climbing 555.5 feet. The tower acted for years as a lighthouse for passing aircraft and motorists coming across National Road. And the flashing light could be seen for miles away. I remember the tower so much, as you all do in our lives. It remains to this day a light that is upon us. At different times of the year, the exterior light on the tower will be changed to reflect different occasions. You can see on the right-hand side of the screen the changing of the lights for the season of the tower. And there's red and green for Christmas, pink for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, in all green for St. Patrick's Day, and of course red, white, and blue for July 4th. The rest of the time it is illuminated with white light. The colors have to be changed manually by placing gels over the lamps, it says. Here's the question. Has the light of our eyes shifted in other directions? Contrary to Jesus, have we hid it under a bushel? Hiding under a bushel? No. You all know the song. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel. Under a bushel basket. But on a lampstand, so that light will shine. So it will shine before all. Let your light so shine, it says. There's light everywhere. Everywhere. There's beautiful light here in this sanctuary. In this country, though, there's so much light that if we go out and try to see the stars at night, even out in the deep countryside, it's sometimes hard. Yes, we declare in today's world, the church utilizes forms of light, the media, and we shine that way. And we've had the electricians here this week to keep our light shining outside. It kept going off, and we're still working on getting it there. And this week, in addition to the Clay Pool Company, we've had Jim Clausing put us on Twitter. Am I saying it right? Twitter? And then we tweet with it. Get that right, you know. So we're now there. We're working on it. Grace Church needs to work on it. We need to be there. But here's the question. Is our light truly shining in the same way? Are we shining to let our light so shine into the world before others? Are we living out Isaiah 58, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, as we had a cart full of food last week? Based upon the prophetic text of Micah, it's quoted by John Winthrop. Do you follow the counsel of Micah to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God? There's such a sense of fake caring in our lives as we try to let our light shine. In the political world that I work in, the 60-day period that I continually give you thanks for, to let me do that, and I know so many politicians. I knew this politician when he was a delegate, now he's a senator. And when you meet him, he'll give you the warmest greeting and shake your hand and smile, and his light shines and shines. And when I take people to see him, he does the same. He was in the county where I served a church. And I actually broke out of my pastoral role one day and took someone out to lunch and said, I'm taking you out to lunch. You were a former delegate. We need someone to run for Senate against so-and-so. Can you find someone? Because he never, never votes, in my estimation, in my opinion, and so many opinions. He never votes for the will of the people. He has recently said that everybody should not be making big dollars. All these workers, construction workers, they should be making minimum wage. Even though he got a job for the big company and got a big salary. So where does your light shine? Is it a true light? By the way, this man is a mainline church attender and supporter. One day I was giving my annual speech to the Methodist Conference, and there's, you know, more than 1,000 people there, and I see him sitting out there, and I gave greetings to him, and then I said to the conference, "I know you're all looking at me saying, what are you doing? You know that he and I never agree on anything, but we do agree on Christ being centered. So I try to shine the light on him while I see his light not always being real. We should shine. We should live out the gospel. Jesus is the light of the world. And he has passed that light and flavored the salt in us. May you be a true reflection of that light. And Jim, would you give us the last slide? Oh, wait a minute, that's one more story. The Monuments movie. The Monuments Men, we went out and saw it the other night. Great movie, go see it. But I had to look up the reviews online before I went to see it. And there were some great reviews, but the one review just declared it was just some leftist, liberal, flaming movie, and he would never see it again or never recommend it. How could he get that? Where's that coming from? It was a true story about World War II and what Hitler wanted to do with the art, and tried to hide it in mines, shafts, and how a group of 6 men became soldiers from the United States and went out to save the art. It was a shining light. So there is fake light and there's real light. Look inside yourself. May God bless you as you seek to be the shining light. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. Amen.